This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up on what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat
and put on the Kevlar.
It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So welcome aboard. We got a lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. And of course, newcaliforniastate.com. newcaliforniastate.com, state of the future. Okay, well, like I said, we've got a lot of things happening. We were talking about some of the socialist ideals that are going on right now to destroy our country in the last hour, using athletics in particular. And we started talking about Bubba Wallace, right, in the noose business. And he apologized because, the FBI found that there was no reason to believe that it was a racist action and a hate crime being committed in his garage, where somebody had made a rope noose, I guess, but because it had been sitting there for months before that. Anyway, that's just all part of it. And then we talked about the Tulsa soccer club that's going to stop doing the national anthem. Sure, this land is your land by Woody Guthrie is going to be substituted. And anyway, so many things happening. The COVID virus business, we're finding out that the extortionist, the governor Gavin Newsom, who has no money, by the way, he has no money to give. He's now threatening to hold off relief funds from the COVID virus, of all things, to counties in California because they're not wearing the mask. Ah, the dangerous masks that are out there that will kill you, even sudden death. It even warns you on some of these masks. It tells you the warnings right there. And by the way, people are lining up by in the droves to get a doctor's excuses to tell people, hey, and their employers, they cannot wear a mask at work because of hypoxia, things like that. Anyway, the science of government is upon us, And, of course, that leads us into our next guest, Patrick Woods, who's been on Agenda 21 Radio countless times, member of the Liberty Tour, and spoken so many times on behalf of technocracy and why it's so evil. And Patrick Wood has actually been a founding father in the movement of the anti-globalist people like ourselves in the fight against Agenda 21. So, Patrick, welcome back home, I guess you can say, because I'm broadcasting from your old hometown, as you know, Yuba City, California, and you're now in Arizona. How's the high life in Arizona treating you?
Well, we only have so far about 110 degrees. It's like the hottest day ever up there in Yuba City, but we do this all the time down here. So, but I'll tell you, in spite of 108 degree temperatures yesterday, about 500 people congregated at the Scottsdale, Arizona town hall, the city hall where the council members work and the mayor and all that, to have a no face mask protest. And they braved the temperature, and it was the most energetic crowd I think I've seen probably in 20 years. They were so passionate and just so full of energy that this face mask thing is just a rip off.
Right.
Just fake from the ground up, political agenda, no science behind it whatsoever. And so the climate down here is not too bad. Arizona's have this mandatory thing in most cities now to wear face masks. And I know California's much worse, comes from the top down, but they're fighting it over here. This is
good.
This is a good thing.
Well, we're going to continue to fight it here. It's kind of interesting. We filed a press release yesterday on behalf of New California and the people of California that the state of California doesn't have any money. And as they know, and of course they're in a bind right now because they're coming up to July 1st, in which they're supposed to have a lot of money, but the only money that they seem to get a hold of is internal money from cities and municipalities and other governmental agencies to kind of keep them afloat, to kind of go down the road. But they also have about $24 billion from the COVID virus relief fund, right?
Mm.
And guess where they're borrowing the money come July 1st to keep them afloat? It's from that COVID relief fund. Here's the problem. That money is supposed to be helping people and businesses right now. Right now. Right now, they're supposed to be using that money to give relief to these businesses and to give relief to the people for unemployment and so on. And they're stealing the money right out from underneath their feet.
Yep. Where have we seen that played before? That's been the status quo for government, and especially in California, for as long as I can remember. They use the old phrase, robbing Peter to pay Paul. This has always been the standard thing in California, it seems like, at least for the leftist type governors and legislators. And the people that aid is earmarked for are the ones that take it on the ear.
Right.
Yeah.
So right now, it looks like, and from what we're seeing from the news reports after we filed this press release, which we're going to have a press conference on, what we're seeing here is just the governor blatantly using these federal funds, probably using these federal funds for budgetary reasons to keep the state afloat and not paying the people the money that's supposed to get it. And, of course, as you know, there's a lot of laws being broken with that by the state of California, because when federal funds come in, they're supposed to follow the guidelines for those funds, and obviously they're not doing that. I wanted to get on, with what you're here for, which is, of course, technocracy and what you're famous for. But I want to go back a little bit in history so people understand where you're coming from, that in the 70s you wrote a book with Anthony Sutton called Trilaterals Over Washington. And I wanted to find out, what in the world is Trilaterals Over Washington? Or let the public know what Trilaterals Over Washington, what that book was so famous for.
Yeah. Well, we studied the Trilateral Commission in particular. That was the elite organization founded by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski. And we kind of became the de facto experts on the Trilateral Commission back then. Took a lot of flack, got censored, eventually got completely blacklisted by B. Dalton Bookseller. We found out one of the board members was happened to be a member of the commission.
Shocking, shocking.
A shocking thing, shocking development. But we had a lot of influence back in those days, a lot of media appearances, a lot of speeches and talks and seminars, and you name it, we did it. And Sutton passed, by the way, in 2002, and most all of his research was lost. Fortunately, I had duplicate research on at least the Trilateral Commission, and so I started back up in the you know, researching and writing realm, and that's kind of what got me to where I am today. But that's where it started. That was the genesis of this whole thing that we're dealing with today, because the Trilateral Commission declared all by themselves, there was nobody else involved in this, that they're going to create a new international economic order. That was all over the literature. And we didn't quite understand what that meant. I didn't, certainly, because I later found out it was technocracies, what they were talking about. They just didn't blatantly say it back then. But they set out to create a new international economic order. And there's quite a detailed thread to understand that. That's why I wrote two recent books on technocracy, especially Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Globalization. And, you know, the money trail, the political trail, the economic trail is so clear, looking back now, that this is what they were doing. And, you know, there's lots of stuff to talk about it. But I suppose the bottom line was that the Rockefeller crowd, very wealthy, controlling most of the world's monetary system one way or another, they set this up as a resource grab, pure and simple. It was a play to capture all of the resources of the world, or at least as much as they could get. And it wasn't about any benevolence. It wasn't about helping the people. It was about getting control of the resources. And that's exactly what they've done. The United Nations now calls it sustainable development, but it's the same old warmed over garbage from the 1930s. And they want to control all the resources, just pure and simple. They don't want us to have any. They want to have it all. And that's what Agenda 21 is all about. It's an agenda, all right. It's their agenda. It's not our agenda. They could care less about people. In fact, they would like to have a whole lot less people on the planet than is right now, so they could enjoy more of those resources for themselves. But I'll tell you what, Paul, it's been a long journey. A long journey, and I'm glad I still have the energy to be in the fight.
Well, we're really happy to have you, because you're an enormous resource right now, just to the information you just imparted to people, that you know, there's a resurgence of interest in Anthony Sutton as well, and of course there, Anthony Sutton goes all the way back to understanding about the order of the skull and bones.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, and just recently some of his videos started popping up about one of the things that this particular story that we got, Breaking 100 Years of Secrecy. This intriguing video takes a look at Yale's mysterious society, the Order of the Skull and Bones, and its prominent members, numbering among them the Tafts, the Rockefellers, the Pillsburys, and Bushes. Mm-hmm. It explored is how Skull and Bones initiates have become senators, judges, cabinet secretaries, spies, titans of finance and industry, and even U.S. presidents, including George W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that book, The Order of the Skull and Bones, kind of started the ball rolling for Trilateral's commission.
Well, yeah, Tony wrote that book, and I think I want to say it was in the late 80s. It was really the first time anybody had explored in depth the Skull and Bones Society. And he was fortunate to have gotten a bunch of original information from a person whose father, I believe it was, or maybe his grandfather, was a member of Skull and Bones. And nobody really understood what old grandpa was doing. But when he passed, all of his secret hidden papers were discovered, and they fell into Sutton's hands, and he says, I'm writing a book about this one, baby, because this is too big to ignore. It was a huge story, and he did expose it very well. And as we know, looking back now, there have been so many people that have cycled through the Skull and Bone Society at Yale. Of course, that's a college fraternity, if you will.
Right.
A secret society. So the young people that come through college that were nominated to be in that organization, they built lifelong relationships. And that's kind of was the point of the whole thing. They committed and pledged to help each other all the way through life, you know, until death. And so, you know, they would always take care of each other first, and they would call on each other to do things that maybe could not be done without their help. And so they ended up getting in incredible places of power. One of the people that most aggravated me, by the way, that was a member of Skull and Bones, was John Kerry. You know, there was this great and you know, enemy thing between John Kerry and like a George Bush. Nobody, everything was completely resolved when you realized they were both part of the same secret society, and they were pledged to each other way back when. So, you know, it just kind of underscores the lunacy of a two-party system. You know, people think, well, it's Republicans, well, it's Democrats. I got news for you. They're on both sides of the aisle. And, you know, these people, you know, that meet, if you will, that have, you know, smoke stogies and drink, you know, 100-year-old scotch, they get a lot done in those meetings, I have to say. So.
Well, it's amazing how they play both sides of the aisle. And, of course, we see that even today because you have the Republican Party of California, which is very anti-Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be Republicans, right? And they're not even supporting, by the way, they're not even supporting down-ballot Republicans, which is interesting, you know, especially in your congressional seats. It shows you how deep that goes. So, you know, moving on, though, but the trilaterals – you say that it's a resource-driven operation, even today, with the planned Agenda 21 business that they've followed along.
You know, everybody today understands that the monetary system in the world is under tremendous stress and is at risk of completely breaking down. I think people are pretty much recognizing this finally, that there is a limit to a fiat monetary system. And that something different is going to happen. Everybody's looking at blockchain right now, by the way, with, you know, different types of cryptocurrencies, but they will be owned and operated by the central banks in the end, not by independent people. But, you know, you look back to 1973, and I'm thoroughly convinced today that David Rockefeller understood the finite limits of money. He was one of the richest men on the planet, but he understood the finite limits of money. And he said, I think he saw the handwriting on the wall that eventually it has to come unglued. And it's, since it's just paper, it's illusory and it's going to be destroyed eventually. So he was thinking to himself, what can I do to maintain my wealth? Well, the only conceivable answer is get the resources, dummy. If you own the resources, if you own the cattle and you own the gold and you own the oil and you own the timber and the, you know, farming and everything else, it doesn't matter what monetary system is in place. People need that stuff. You got it. Whatever you want to choose as money at that point is going to be immaterial because you're going to have the majority of it. So, you know, I this just makes perfect thinking to me, now, looking backwards, I can see him just having that conversation with somebody like Zbigniew Brzezinski.
So the idea is to gobble up the resources, which is really what Agenda 21 is all about, is gobble up the world's resources. And at the very tip of this, though, are rural communities in rural America in particular.
That's right. That's where the resources are. The resources are not in the cities, except for people, you know, and they realize that people are like human capital. They're the worker bees that get stuff done, who extract and process all those things. But all of the resources, 100% of the resources are in the rural communities. That's why they want people off the land. That's why they want to, you know, like the Frank Church wilderness area up in Idaho. I forget how many, 25,000 square miles or something. It's huge.
Right.
Oh, you know, all the roads you used to go in there now all have iron gates on them. You can't go in there.
Right.
Off limits. Now, you can hike in if you want to brave the bears and the wolves and the mountain lions, but not too many want to hike in there, especially not with your little kids, your family and stuff, you know. You know, people that go in there pack 44 Magnums with a lot of ammunition just in case. But this has happened all over the world, not just here. And look at how many heritage zones, for instance, that the United Nations has declared around the world.
Right.
Every time a heritage zone is declared, people don't go in. They take over the management of the so-called wilderness area, and they won't let anybody in it, and they take those resources offline. And for the old-timers that followed James Bond, there was a great movie, I think it was the first one, called Goldfinger. And he had this plot to blow up Fort Knox. And halfway through the movie, you understand why. You don't get it at first, but he wanted to put a nuclear device inside of Fort Knox and blow it up. And it came out, he said, that he already had all the gold he wanted. But if he could irradiate all the gold in Fort Knox, and in other words, people wouldn't touch it for 1,000 years, then his gold would be worth a stinking fortune. That was the plot of the movie, to irradiate all the gold in Fort Knox, making his gold completely scarce, and he would be the richest man in the world. Well, this is kind of the plot with the United Nations and all these heritage zones and all these national, I won't call them parks, but wilderness areas have been declared in America, especially in the West. Every time something is taken offline, the remaining resources become more valuable. Well, who owns those remaining resources? Well, you know, you look to Montana and you find a bunch of ranches up there with 20 to 25,000 acres, house out in the middle of it. Who the heck's in that house out there? Well, Ted Turner is one of them.
Right, right.
You had Jeffrey Epstein down in New Mexico. He had one of those big places. He was a member of the Trilateral Commission, by the way.
Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that. I just want the public to hear that Jeffrey Epstein was a member of this group.
So it's a strange world. And most of the time, most people have no clue what they're looking at or what's going on with these various programs and stuff. But once you see the big picture, you just cannot unsee it. And, the plot to take away the resources of the world from people is so simple on the surface of it. It's just a very simple thing to understand. It's the same thing we had during the Dark Ages where all of the land barons in England, for instance, that owned just huge swaths of land, all of the people just basically had to find somebody that would tolerate them, and then they squatted on their property and maybe raised a few pigs or some corn or something, and they had to give 90% of their crops back to the land baron. And that was called the Dark Ages, by the way. It was a very ugly, dark time for the world. There was no freedom. There was, you lived at the instance of that land baron. If he wanted to go out there and wipe your whole family out, he could. Nobody would say a word.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting when I take a look at what's going on with the new California state movement, because as you know, it's all about rural versus urban.
Mm-hmm.
And we're reclaiming the rural areas of California, which is about 90% of the state land mass, by the way.
Right.
And, of course, the other part, what you did is just, you know, where are the populations and how can we split the populations in half? And as it turns out, there's 19.5 million people in rural California, and there's 20 million in urbanized California, which is L.A. Basin, San Francisco, and Sacramento. And you say to yourself, well, that's parity. That's even.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work out that way in terms of the land mass and the resources. So that's another picture that, of course, stands right in the way of these folks, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And you can see the Agenda 21 plan that was created at Rio de Janeiro in 1992. What most people certainly will not know, and I'll just tell it right now, is that the Agenda 21, the entire doctrine and the text of the Agenda 21 program that we're talking about, was written by a lady by the name of Gru Harlem Brundtland that chaired the Brundtland Commission for the United Nations from 83 to 87.
Right.
That popped out a book at the end called Our Common Future that became the template and the language for Agenda 21. The United Nations has written widely about this. They recognize it, and they call Brundtland the mother of sustainable development. You know, she's got a great position of honor. She's still alive. She's kind of like a Henry Kissinger now. She's pretty old, but she's still kicking and still out there doing stuff for the United Nations. When she wrote Our Common Future, creating the Agenda 21 document, she was a member of the Trilateral Commission.
Shocking.
Shocking. So where did this doctrine come from? Well, it didn't come from, I don't know, whatever. It didn't come from some other organization. It came straight out of the bowels of the Trilateral Commission, which was pledged to create a new international economic order years before. And this whole thing from top to bottom, from start to finish, has been an operation of this global elite group. And, of course, they were just representative. It wasn't just them, but they were the point people. They were the team leaders, if you will, to get this done for, you know, for the global elite. And they've done it. They've the bang up job. If you were just a strategist, you'd have to give them a tip of the hat, because, man, what they did is just amazing. They have totally turned the world upside down, and they're still doing it. They're doing it right now. In fact, I've written since the first of the year that technocracy right now is exercising its final coup d'etat on the planet.
Right.
In other words, it's sprung the trap, and now they are asserting themselves completely to be the masters of the universe.
See, I totally believe that. And, you know, I say that. I've said that what we have here is that they are in their end game of making sure that, you know, they're in charge and we're not. And that's why they're trying so hard to knock off Donald Trump at this point in time.
Yes. But I'll tell you, even in spite of the animosity with Trump and people around him, perhaps, the whole movement, the underlying operatives that are working this thing, they have never been deterred, regardless of who's president or not. Through every administration, starting with Jimmy Carter, there's been a lot of pushback and anti-globalism stuff along the way and whatever, and people hop up and down for a while and get excited about it. But there has been nothing. There's been no administration that has slowed down these people whatsoever. They have operated kind of like Anthony Fauci, by the way, who is a poster boy for technocracy as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah, he's perfect.
How many presidents has he served under? Well, I think he says six, doesn't he, or five or something?
Yeah.
And with equal adeptness, you know, to deal with those. Well, this is the sign of a technocrat. They don't care who's in office. They sit behind. They're unelected and unaccountable. They sit behind the scenes and pull the strings and manipulate the politicians to suit their own fancy. And this has been going on for so long. And honestly, I'm thinking at this point, this is beyond a Donald Trump issue as being the big savior that's going to once and for all kill globalization. They're using him as a point of conflict, yes. But behind the scenes, I don't see them stressing whatsoever. Not at all.
Well, I think their methodology is we'll win you over time anyway. You know, we don't care what happens now. If there's a problem, we'll just wait. We got all the time in the world, and they're using time. But I think for some of these trilaterals, some of these globalists, at least in my opinion, they seem to be running out of time, and that's why they're pressing right now.
Well, they are pressing hard, that's for sure. But here's the big question I ask people, and it usually is kind of it kind of shocks people when they think about it. Technocracy is an alternative economic system for capitalism and free enterprise. This has been the battle since the 1930s. The United Nations has sworn to overthrow capitalism and free enterprise and replace it with sustainable development, which I contend is technocracy.
Which is the Marxist doctrine for 1848.
We know who the perpetrator is. We know a motive. We can see the motive. We can see the threats being made to murder something, somebody, whatever. So we have a perpetrator. We have a motive, and we have they have the ability to carry out what they're doing. Now, I would just ask one question: who in the world would have the clout to completely shut down the global economic system all at once? The Democrats. You can't blame that on the Democrats. You can't blame it on the Republicans either. Well, you can't blame it on the Marxist in Venezuela. You can't. You know, somebody has enough clout and enough power and enough cleverness and the will to shut down the entire global economic system. This is the technocrats. These are the people behind it. And when you think about, wow, that's a lot of power. They really pulled it off, didn't they? Well, yes, they did. I think people ought to take a second look at this fifth column, if you will, of actors on the world stage, because nobody's paid attention to them for decades. And if they don't, we can see what the outcome is going to be. So they're effectively in process of deep sixing capitalism and the free market economic system. And I'll tell you that. You know, you just think about it, the magnitude of it.
So for some of our new listeners and some of our older listeners that have heard you before, let's explain what technocracy is so that they have a clear picture. I mean, we got a classic technocrat in Fauci and Burke and that whole cadre of people. And the technocrats really are the people behind this whole shutdown of the U.S. economy. And the face mask business, as it relates to like you brought up the face mask business. We have it out here in California. It's affecting everybody's lives right now, and it's the technocracy that's doing it.
Well, this is how they defined themselves in 1938, and this is I consider this an official definition. It came out of one of their magazines called The Technocrat. Isn't that a
shocking
name? Really. But here's what it said. Direct quote: technocracy is the science of social engineering, the scientific operation of the entire social mechanism to produce and distribute goods and services to the entire population. So number one, it's a system of social engineering, and they wanted to use science. I call it pseudoscience now because it is, but they wanted to use science to socially engineer everything in sight. And then right after that, they say it's a scientific operation of the entire social mechanism. That's people. But the object of it is to produce and distribute goods and services to the entire population. So there's the economic thing. You can't control the production and distribution of goods unless you own all of the resources to produce those things.
Exactly.
That's just it. And this is exactly what the United Nations says today. Sustainable development is a sustainable production, consumption, and distribution of goods. That's exactly what they say today. So nothing has really changed. This science, this business of science controlling society, these people think they can take their engineering skills and scientific skills and roll it over onto people. So things that you learn in engineering, for instance, or, you know, mechanical sciences or whatever, they think that those principles can work in society for the sake of social engineering, where the pseudoscience starts, because that's just a crock. It doesn't work, but they think it does. So now they're using all these scientific methods to engineer society all around the world, not just in our country. It's everywhere. It's global at this point. And they want to have all the resources under their control. And so Agenda 21 says, and I'm sure you said this 1,001 times, we will tell you business people what you are allowed to make, and we will tell you, you peon consumers, what you're allowed to consume.
Right.
Right? That's just, You can't say any more. That's just it in a nutshell.
Yeah, it's classic communism. But I want to go back to the thing about the using science to control the populations, because this is where, you know, we're hearing all the time now. It's the science. Let the science drive it. It's data, 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 data. And, of course, you, as you know, I used to teach science. And one of the things I always taught about was data has to be honest data. I mean, that's just fundamental that, and again, a lot of people might not understand statistics. They might not understand the scientific method and the principles behind that in order to extract data from, you know, these proper data points. And then it comes down to interpreting the data honestly. So therein lies a problem for the technocrats and, of course, who we hear today, where they're absolutely using false science and false data. And hence the term, as you apply it, and I do too, they're using pseudoscience, false science and data, to tell us what to do.
That's right. And that my recent article on Technocracy News, it was called The Miserable Pseudoscience Behind Face Masks, Social Distancing, and Contact Tracing.
Right.
Is the first time that I can find out throughout the, you know, the internet sphere that all three of these have been addressed at the same time in terms of the pseudoscience behind them. And you see a common methodology behind pushing all three of these agendas today. This is the scientific engineering of society, you see, using pseudoscience to get people to do what they want them to do. It's like the old game we played when kids, you know, Simon Says. And they're Simon. And so it doesn't matter to them. It doesn't matter if you look through their pseudoscience and say, hey, wait a minute, I call BS. That's not science. You're making this stuff up. They say, well, you know, who are you to say anything? The consensus has already been determined, the scientific consensus, and the science is settled. So shut up and go home. And that's basically what they do. They marginalize, they name call, they ridicule, they shame, they get people fired, they get them canceled, if you will. That's the new term today, right? They get them canceled out of life itself, fired from their jobs, careers ruined, grants withheld, books published that can't be published anymore if you're an opposing scientist. And they have taken the upper hand in this pseudoscience argument by turning the tables around and saying, hey, we have the true science. You guys over there, you have the false science. It's just absolutely polar opposite. So the people, the scientists that have the real stuff, they're saying, no, 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 that's pseudoscience over there. We have the real stuff over here. See, look at us, look at us. And this is, you know, this is how Fauci gets away with what he's doing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is, and his science is just as cracked as crackpot. He might as well be, the Dr. Frankenstein or whatever his name was originally. He must be just as crazy as that, but he has convinced the world that his science is real and that anybody that has opposing arguments should not be listened to. You know, I asked my friend Dr. Russell Blaylock to write an article for Technocracy News, and he did, called Face Masks Pose Serious Risks to the Healthy. Now, Blaylock is retired, but he's a world-renowned neurosurgeon. Had a great career, tremendous breakthroughs during his lifetime. And so he's qualified to write a paper like this, and he did. Face Masks Pose a Serious Risk to the Healthy. And I published it, and this article now, honestly, has had well over a million views in the last 6 weeks on Technocracy News. And it's been picked up by major publications all around the world.
Yeah.
Well, the attacks that have come against him because of this paper are absolutely astounding. I get emails now every day and comments in the comment section, whatever, people saying, this guy's a nut, this guy's a crackpot, this guy shouldn't be allowed to, you know, practice medicine or do anything. He's going to kill, you know, millions of people with this kind of talk. And you could just see these people have brainwashed, the technocrats have brainwashed people.
Yeah.
Just cancel somebody like Russell Blaylock right off the face of the planet. And he's got the real science. He's got the real science in his head. And these other people are saying, no, don't listen to that guy. He's a crackpot. He's a nut. He's a quack. And some people believe that, of course.
Well, you know, you wrote an article, and it says this. You wrote an article, and you, the website is a technocracy.news is the website that you have up. It's a great website. And we have it linked, actually, at the bottom of Agenda 21 Radio in the links portion. But this was written by you back in May, on May 4th. And, of course, we were railing against the masks at the time, too. And, you know, your article is just so succinct. It says, when a healthy person wears a face mask, they continuously rebreathe a portion of the CO2 that comes out from their lungs. Of course, there are many different types of masks that vary in such a CO2 concentration, but the principle remains the same. Breathing air that is too rich in CO2 has its own negative health effects. Humans breathe in air that is approximately 20.95% oxygen, 78% nitrogen, 0.93 argon, and 0.04 carbon dioxide, while exhaling your breath contains approximately 3.8% carbon dioxide. That does lead to some serious health problems.
It does, and I've since discovered, after just kind of kicking this around with with other experts in the field, that even a more dangerous effect even than just the oxygen is, and that becomes almost a relatively minor argument to what's really going on when people wear face masks. But when you have a restricted airflow, when you put that mask on your face, your breathing immediately becomes more labored. Labored breathing. In other words, you're restricting the airflow coming into your lungs. That requires you to breathe harder. That requires you to breathe deeper to get the same amount of oxygen that you would have otherwise got from normal air if you didn't have the mask on. Well, this exercise breathing in some people causes immediate negative effects, including headaches, dizziness. Some people have even passed out, they say. But especially for the elderly, when your lung capacity gets less and less, you know, your muscles get weak, you can't afford to have restricted airflow. And how many people, I mean, today, you know, obesity is a big problem. You say, well, how long does it take you to get winded? Like, if you go out and you walk for, say, a quarter mile and you're, you know, kind of walking a little bit fast, do you get winded at the end of that quarter mile? Or does it take an eighth of a mile? Or does it take 100 yards? Well, a lot of people, especially when they get old, they can't walk fast. They can't do anything. They can sit in a chair and breathe and get along. But if they get up and they start moving around and they start walking and exercising, all of a sudden they get winded. Well, when you put a mask on for that kind of person, they're winded when you put the mask on.
Yeah.
They're breathing. They're having to suck the air through that thing. And that causes effects in the lungs. I read a story of a young lady, who was forced to wear a face mask at work, and she did dutifully because she didn't want to get fired. And this girl got chest pains, tremendous chest pains, and a few other things kind of going wrong with her. So, man, I think I'm really, really sick. And she went to the doctor, and they x-rayed her, and they did a bunch of tests and stuff, and she didn't have COVID or anything like that. But they determined and diagnosed her with pleurisy. Well, pleurisy, that's something that's kind of relatively rare, I guess, but pleurisy is an inflammation of the lung sac that surrounds your lungs.
Pleural membrane.
Right, that's the membrane. Well, pleurisy is where that gets all inflamed, and when inflammation starts like that, it's extremely painful.
Oh, sure.
And it takes a long time to get rid of it. It's kind of like bronchitis in a way. You just don't, you know, get over it in a week. So she's probably still off work at this point. But pleurisy is the kind of the perfect example in your mind on what's going on when you start this breathing, restricted breathing process. And certain groups of people are much more susceptible to this. The elderly, for sure, should never wear a mask. people that are overweight that get or bad shape, you know, that get winded when they do a little bit of work, they should not wear a mask either. And people that are exercising, like, you know, running around stores and shelves and climbing up and down ladders, they're saying all the time they get headaches, they get really winded, they get dizzy. Yeah, how do you like to be dizzy up at the top of a ladder and fall off? Well, it's going to happen someday. It's going to happen. So, and in spite of all this, you know, Paul, the thing is, in spite of all this, the scientific literature says that face, and even OSHA itself says, there is no value in these face masks on preventing you from getting coronavirus.
Right.
It says right on it.
And you know, it says right on the, it says right on the mask, by the way, that on a lot of these masks, the N95 masks, that they're dangerous and even deadly for wearing them.
Yes.
It gives you the warning right there. And of course, here you have Governor Newsom right now, who's out telling everybody, because the counties and they're just not going along with the drill, you know. Yeah. And so now he's come out and he's threatened to withhold funds based upon the COVID virus money that he's got, supposedly. Withhold funds for these counties not behaving. Can you imagine that? And so the problem with the governor is, though, of course, this money he's supposed to be holding on to, he doesn't have. He's already spent it to balance the budget, which is illegal.
Yeah.
To balance the budget because he needs the money coming up July 1st. And so people aren't getting the money that they were promised from the COVID virus, the relief for businesses and the unemployment. They aren't getting that money in California. I can't tell you the number of people who call me and says, where is my money? You know, what's wrong with that Trump? He hasn't delivered. Well, it's because it's being held by Gavin Newsom illegally.
Yes, and, you know, that brings up a really good point about technocrats. There is a huge meme within technocracy to ignore the law. We have in our society today, I think everybody would agree, lawlessness is running amok.
Right.
Everywhere, it's running amok in society, in the streets, like with Chaz, Chop, whatever it is, up in Washington State, Seattle. And you've got politicians running amok with lawlessness. They're just doing whatever they want to do. They're not following the laws that are set down. And now, I mean, we've had a rule of law for a couple of centuries, but this is gone now because politicians think they can do whatever comes into their mind to do, and they simply do it and say, to heck with all the rest of you, this is the reality of life. And so lawlessness is now the new standard for society, and these people are all emboldened just to do what they see fit in their own mind. And there's so many illegal acts taking place today around our country at all levels that nobody could ever in 1,000 years straighten it all out, you know, and legally straighten it all out and set everything right again. They've just destroyed the legal system. That's why so many people skate free that should not skate free. And I'm still waiting for people like, when's Joe Biden's son going to get indicted by our attorney general?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's never going to happen. So, I just tell you, it's never going to happen. Or if it does, it's going to be a slap on the wrist. This guy should have been in jail years ago. If you pulled the things that Biden's son pulled, I guarantee you'd be in Sing Sing. You'd never get out.
That's right. That's right. Although there's hope, and there's hope in some of the prosecutions that are coming right now. So, well, listen, the thing about the technocrats and what we're facing right now, like with Ananthi Fauci, you brought up a good point. They don't care about laws. It's very evident that Fauci does not care about the law, nor does Burke, other than you will do as I tell you. That's their law. And we're seeing that expressed, of course, with people like Gavin Newsom, the people like, you know, all the Democrat governors around there that you talk about Murphy, you're talking about Cuomo, Pritzker, Gavin Newsom, Kate Brown up in Oregon. All these people are just basically passing out directives, and they say it's because of the newfound law in science. Science has become the law. Pseudoscience, though. Pseudoscience is now the law, and right. They're laying it down by directives.
That's right. No, we used to be ruled by law. That is, if the legislature passed something, okay, that's fine, then we do that. Even if we don't agree, we might, you know, say, yeah, well, that's the rule of law. Legislature makes a law, we have to follow it. Then it goes to regulations from there as agencies and whatever start making regulations backed up by the law sometimes, backed up by statute. And we say, okay, well, we got to obey the regulations too because they'll fine you, they'll, you know, do stuff to you, take away your rights if you don't. But now we're being ruled not by regulations, we're being ruled by guidelines.
Guidelines. Right. Right.
Those aren't even regulations, they're just suggestions. But they say, if you do not follow our guidelines, we will punish you.
Yeah, which is what Newsom said this morning.
That's right. This is not law. This is lawlessness. And so if you walked up to your neighbor, let's say, and you say something like, I think you should paint your car blue. And he says, well, I don't like blue. You say, but you need to paint your car blue. There's going to be an argument come out of that. You know, I say, you got no right to tell me how to paint my car. I'll paint my car whatever I want. And you see, this ends up just being a bully situation, and it's a con. The only way your neighbor would ever paint his car blue would be as if somehow you conned him into, you know, somehow doing that and manipulated him to doing it. But you'd have no basis, you'd have no legal right to tell him to paint his car blue.
Right.
Well, these guys are telling us citizens to paint our car blue because they say so.
Yeah, well, and they have no law behind them. Nothing.
There's no law behind it. Absolutely none. And it is not enforceable by law. That doesn't mean they can't send the sheriff or can't send the police out to your, you know, place to cite you and give you a huge ticket and force you to appear in court. At this point, I say, bring on the civil disobedience. Let's all go to court and get a massive discovery program going. Get all these lawyers that might defend us, whatever, to put all this stuff on the table in court and expose it once and for all. But they don't want everybody to go to court. That's the thing. They will selectively pick people who can't defend themselves.
Right.
Nail them as examples. But we need people to get into court who will fight these people in court and get their own lawyers to discover, and that's a legal term, to go through the process of discovery to lay this stuff out in black and white that could be picked up and, you know, authoritatively by newspapers and you know, the alternative media, whatever, to expose this and let the public know what's going on. There's so much corruption, it's not even funny, you know.
Well, listen, Patrick, we got to run for time. I want to thank you very much for being with us here on Agenda 21 Radio. Very timely, and we got to have you back real soon so that we can kind of adjust ourselves to this scientific pseudoscience that's being foisted upon us by the technocrats. Tell us how we can get a hold of you and your books.
Well, technocracy.news is the website. Everything I have is pretty much there. Books are also available on Amazon. Just search for my name. And I encourage people also to go to citizensforfreespeech.org, where we're dealing with the face mask issue there, as a First Amendment issue. And it is a huge First Amendment issue. That's one way we're fighting it right now and helping people, giving them tools to resist,
mm-hmm,
wear a face mask.
Well, thank you very much, Patrick, for being with us.
My pleasure.
Awesome. Anytime. So Patrick Wood, kind of laying it down so you understand there's a lot of history that, you know, behind the face mask issue right now that has been developing behind the scenes you didn't even know about. Except that, you know, Agenda 21 Radio has been talking about it now for 9 years. And people are starting to wake up and figure this whole thing out. And my suggestion is if you have an employer who is forcing you to wear a face mask, it's illegal, it's against the law, and it's absolutely potentially deadly to you. So go to your doctor and have them sign the note and put it in his face. Play on words. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. We got a couple of guests coming up in the next hour. Chris Jacobson's going to be with us, and Sandra Lee, Dear Donald Letters from a Loving Deplorable. She'll be with us. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.